Thanks for coming. I have the honor of talking about the Philadelphia story. Excuse me? Oh. I'm the sound guy, and you're telling me what to do. She still tells me. And I didn't have her for speech, so I don't know what you're going to get out of this. I didn't rehearse. I just wrote some quick notes down because I've been busy getting ready for this family celebration that you all are a part of. I am the band director's kid, so all of these stories I remember as a youngster. This school was like a second home. So all of the different things that you experienced, I experienced through the son of Ken Fisher. But I also got to be his student, a band member, and participate in some of the fondest memories I've ever had. And of course, the Philadelphia story was, or the Philadelphia trip happened my freshman year. We were incoming freshmen. And again, if I'm a little jumping around here, it's just some thoughts. I wanted to mention about the Rose Bowl. I remember when we got that call from the Rose Bowl committee inviting us that summer. Sorry, Mom, but we were eating meatloaf. And I wasn't a big fan of meatloaf, and I was so happy when that phone call came. Dad was on the roof, we were all happy, and we didn't eat dinner. And so the dog got the meatloaf. Anyway, jump forward back to Philadelphia. Dad was an educator, and he believed that trips needed to be educational. So it was more about taking kids out of from Deer Park and letting them to have travel experience and see places. And so his main motivation about going back, not only representing the state of Washington and the Parade of States, but to go back and see where our country was founded. And so the itinerary was based upon that. Just some facts that I picked out. It was about $60,000 that were raised from this community to be able to afford that trip for 223 people. We boarded it, you know, I'm a pilot, so I'm into this, at McDonnell Douglas DC-8 Super 80. It was a stretched model. All 223 seats were filled with members, band members, drill team, and chaperones. And I remember I was in the third to the last back row seat and looked up that aisle toward the cockpit because that's where I wanted to be. But it was amazing to me how many people in this town, in this community, were jetting back to Philadelphia. When we got there, we immediately checked into our Harkem Junior College dormitories in Philadelphia, and we hit the ground running. Bus tour that afternoon. We landed, checked in, and we took a tour of Philadelphia by bus. That was our first day of travel. Jet lag, no such thing. Gotta get going. It was a 5-day trip. July 3rd, the next day, we loaded up in 6 buses, and we went to New York. We visited the UN building, the Empire State Building, the Guinness Record Hall, and the Statue of Liberty, all in one day. July 4th was the next day, and of course that was the day of the parade. And it was a Sunday morning, and we had breakfast there in the dorm, and folks were free to go to church right there on the campus. And then we had to show up at 2:30 to cover down and start the parade at 3:30. We were one of the last because, you know, alphabetically, it was a parade of state, and we were Washington. So Alabama and Alaska and Arizona, they got to get through the parade before the torrential downpour that happened the last mile or so. And Dad talks about Greg Worley doing the backstroke. I didn't see that because that was way up front. That picture you saw where the goofy sousaphone players there, that was me and Ron Fairbanks hanging there, you know, goofing off, trying to find the camera. And, but so I didn't see what all happened up front, but I, for people that live in Deer Park and growing up here, for you can't imagine the kind of rainstorms that they get if you're from the Midwest or back east, and that's what we saw. It was just a torrential downpour, and so we just kind of ran for cover toward the end. Not only that, was they canceled the, basically I think the parade route just canceled, and everybody, because you couldn't hardly see where you were marching. But we got back to the bus area, and it was a party type atmosphere, as Dad mentioned there. We were waiting for the buses in the worldwide band. It was a college band of kids from all over the world in the United States. Were marched along with them because they were worldwide band. They were next to Washington. But they were college kids, and of course they were probably had some sort of a party life experience, because when that's how it was, it became, they broke out and started playing when the Saints come marching in, all in the waiting area there. And I don't know if any of the other remember, but it was loud and the people were excited and just celebrating the 200th birthday of our nation, and we were there. The next day, July 5th, we got up early, 8, and off to Washington, D.C. And we toured the Capitol, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, the Arlington Cemetery, and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Went back to the dorms, back in just out 18 miles out of Philadelphia is where we were at. So we were driving from Philadelphia to New York, D.C. So we always had bus rides involved. The next day we went back to Washington, D.C., this time for a tour of the White House, and the rest of the day at the Smithsonian Institute. So the marching, other than the practices we had there at the college, was just a fraction of it. Dad wanted to make sure that it was educational and give every child an opportunity to go back and see some of these sites. And then the last day, the July 7th, we got up early and went to Valley Forge, where they had the covered wagons from every state in the Union. And that was out by Dulles Airport, and then we got on the airport and flew back. And so it was a 5-day whirlwind trip that, you know, from a aspect of, you know, Rose Bowl was a great thing, but the educational aspect of going back to Philadelphia was a wonderful thing, in far as a breadth of knowledge for everybody that was involved. You know, I could go on for a long time and chat with you, but need to move on. But something I did find in the home last night was this book called Father's Legacy. And it's writings from Dad to me. And since you're all family, I want to share a few things. One of the things is, says, describe the most memorable Valentine you ever received. And I want to find out who this was. He says, the girls' drill team gave me a beautiful Valentine many years ago, and their inscriptions were from the heart. And then he talks about that was second to only his grandkids, Rachel, Ryan, Luke, and John. I'm going to be out of a sequence because I didn't have time to prepare this, but I think it kind of helps explain what you guys have all experienced. It says, the book asks, share your idea of what makes a good friend. And my dad writes, loyalty, sharing the good and the bad, respect, always being there, developing a common bond, and caring. That's what makes a good friend in my dad's eyes. Just a couple more here. God was a part of my dad's life a little bit because he answers this. Do you ever feel that God had a special calling on your life? And he said, I did feel that God watched me in the field of music education. He had blessed me with a total feeling of self-worth and accomplishment. I loved what I did, and the students responded. What an all-time high. That's supposed to be the end, sorry, but just one or two more here. How do you describe success? Here's a question, and my dad says, peace of mind, wonderful friends, sense of accomplishment, and legacy to your children. He did that, but to all of us too. And finally, I think you'll give me a pass, right? Recall for me 5 of the most important lessons you have learned in life. That's a question the book asks in my place, and he answers back to me. Be responsible. Commit. Be faithful. Be kind and courteous. Be innovative. And we've seen that. And never forget your past, relatives, friends, and loved ones. And this is going to be a wonderful reunion today. Thanks.